Thank you, Glenn. He knows I probably watches me bend that thing out of the way. So, well, that was a beautiful song. And I don't know if I can say it goes directly with my message, but I do believe it's associated with it. And I was thinking as he was sharing about the storms of life, I couldn't help but think of the story of Peter. And you remember Peter, that when he was talking to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, if this is you, or, you know, tell me to come down to you on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter, you know, walked down on the water, and he started to perform the impossible, humanly speaking, which is going to be what I'm going to be somewhat talking about this evening. And humanly, that which was not possible on his own strength, he started to do. I don't know, maybe some of you have walked on water and haven't let me know yet, but I doubt it. But you know, we were listening to the song about the storms of life, and that's the very thing that Peter started to realize was around him, was the clouds were likely getting black, the wind was picking up, and the waves may have started to roar. And Peter all of a sudden started realizing there's something uncomfortable around me, and he started to stare at the storm, obviously. And when he started to stare at the storm, it didn't take long at all, but he immediately sank in the water. And then, of course, we know that Peter immediately cried out, "Lord, save me," and the Lord had mercy. But it is a truth that God wants us to be able to accomplish the things that are humanly impossible. But those things can only be done by faith in Jesus Christ. And that leads me into our title this evening. And I want to talk to you about the possibilities of faith in God. Let me state that again. The possibilities of faith in God. Now, I'm just going to begin by sharing a little passage of Scripture to you by memory, and then share another verse before we get into our main texts. You remember the story when many people phrase it, the rich young ruler. You remember that story? And he came running to Jesus, and he said, "Master, what can I do that I can inherit eternal life?" And you know, the story goes on, and Jesus and him converse. And then eventually Jesus gives him instruction what to do, because he realized his riches was an idol in his heart. So he tells him, not in these words, but what he tells him is, "Get rid of that idol, sell your riches, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." And of course the young man went away sad, didn't he? Because he had many riches, and that's where his trust was. Well, eventually, you know, the disciples were kind of stunned when Jesus went on to say, you know, that children, how are they that trust in riches? How hard is it for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were amazed, perhaps because they were still thinking of how, you know, a sign of God's blessing was to have wealth. And, or even maybe along side that, realizing, wow, this young, moral man that's keeping all the commandments of God, and if he can't be saved, who can be saved? And then you remember the Lord said, you know, he went on to say something like, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." And you know, there are some things that are definitely humanly impossible, but those impossibilities are made possible in God. And if those of you that were here last night, if you remember our sermon, it was on a divided heart. It was on trying to have our eye on the Lord and our eye on something else. And we studied through the book of James, 5 chapters, and we realized, you know, how that doesn't work. We saw from the book of James how these Jewish believers that were putting a faith in Jesus Christ, but yet at least a segment of them, whatever that number was, is they were having their mind on the Lord and their mind on the things of this life, how it didn't pan out in their natural life well. And you know, there was contentions and strivings and all of the various sins that were there, worldliness and seeking after their own pleasures and the such like. And we found out very clearly that a divided heart doesn't work too well. But I also want to share this verse before I get into our one of our main texts, and that is in Matthew chapter 6, a verse I've used before because it goes along with our message, and I'm using it in a different slant this evening. I'm using it in the slant of faith, and that's where Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, clear, solely devoted, may I put it that way, to the Lord, thy whole body shall be full of light." And that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Again, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Simply put, if our heart is fully committed to the Lord, if our faith that we say we have in Jesus Christ is solely unto Him, you know, our life, our very spirit, soul, body glows with the presence of God. The actions of Christ flow out of that. The fruits of the Spirit are evident. And you and I, at that instant, become available, I guess I could say, to start doing the things that are humanly impossible. Let me give you a quote here this evening, you know, about this subject of the possibilities that are in faith in God. Many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All giants, spiritual giants, have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence to be with them. That was a quote that Hudson Taylor made many years ago. But they did not focus on their weaknesses, but they reckoned that the power of God was sufficient to help them to accomplish great things for the Lord. And I want you to know this evening that you and I, though we may not think we can do much, we can do much more than we think we can when our faith is fully committed unto the Lord, and when our eye is solely looking to the Lord. And we saw that with Peter, and I could go to so many other examples in the Bible. We could go to Caleb, or we could go to Joshua in the Old Testament, and how they had that spirit of faith in the Lord. And they said, "Listen, we're well able to overcome this land of Canaan. We can take it." But all those other spies said, "No, we can't do it. There's giants in the land, and they saw us as grasshoppers, and we looked small before them." But Caleb and Joshua was like, "No, their defenses departed from them. They had faith that God could take them into the land." And you know, I think one of the great battles in Christianity is living by faith. It's much easier, can I say this, to live by a set of principles and laws that are outlined for you rather than walking by faith in Jesus Christ. But I want us to know that the truth is that if we decide that we're going to live by just a set of principles written in stone, I'm going to tell you what will happen is your power in the Christian life will be weak. But when we walk by faith in Jesus and trust in Him, He infuses us with His power to do the will of God and the commandments of God. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at this thing called the possibilities of faith in God. Now, if you want to turn to the Gospel of Mark, if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read several scriptures there as we continue on in this message before I get to the very main text that I have for you. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. I'd like to read several verses here, beginning in verse 12 of Mark, chapter 11. Again, this is Mark 11. And we'll begin in verse 12. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply," which means if perhaps He might find anything thereon. "And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer or allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Now he's going to again pick up with the story of the fig tree here. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I want to stop there a minute. How many of you really think that what Jesus was saying there, that if you want to just go out tomorrow or the next day and you want to say to this hill or to this mountain, you know, be removed and be cast into the sea, that that's really what the Lord was talking about? No, that's not what the Lord was talking about for you and I to go out there and start telling physical mountains and hills to be cast into the sea. But I want you to know one thing that Jesus was saying is that if you and I have a single eye on the Lord and we have faith, even though it may be like a mustard seed, and I'll explain what I mean, what I believe the Bible means there is, even if our faith is immature, even if we have a lot of growth, you know, in our faith to go on in, but yet that faith is completely given over to the Lord. Like that mustard seed that's planted in the ground is so small. And anyone looking at it could say, well, what is this seed going to do? Well, we wait a little while, whether it be a month or two, and we realize, wow, this thing has grown up and it's greater than all the other herb seeds I planted in the garden, but it was so small. And sometimes, you know, our faith may be very immature and we may not have a lot of knowledge of Scripture, but it is wholly committed to the Lord. And my eye is singularly upon God. And God looks in the heart, and when He sees that, you and I are able to start doing those things that are humanly impossible. Those tasks that are at hand, that burdensome person that's been nothing but a thorn to me, and the such like things, I'm able to now start succeeding in because I have faith in God from my heart that He is more than sufficient to make it happen. And you know, this type of faith does the impossibilities that mankind cannot do. But that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ allows these things to happen. You know, by the way, I want to just talk a little bit about this word faith here. I know it's so simple. I know most of us believe we know what it is. Faith at a very elementary level is just confidence in Jesus Christ, assurance that Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He is the Redeemer. He is Lord of all. Outside of Him is no salvation. It was His meritorious service at Calvary that paid for my sin and your sin and the various like things. And having that complete confidence in that. But I want us to know something that about faith, though that be all true. And that is a faith you and I didn't drum that thing up, you know, to save our own selves. That was a faith that the Lord Jesus Christ sparked in our heart that allowed us to grab a hold of the Lord and receive Him in our life. And that same faith that He sparked, by the way, is the same Lord Jesus Christ that's going to finish that faith. And as you and I continue to remain and abide in Christ, and yield to His Word and surrender our heart fully to the Lord, as I was talking about last night, God is going to sustain that faith and mature it in our Christian life. Now, I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, and I don't know if you have gone through any a study that I want to do tonight and the way I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give you 21 possibilities from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that were accomplished by faith. You know, when some go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, they call it the Hall of Faith, you know. But nevertheless, Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter totally devoted to this subject that I'm talking about tonight, and that is the possibilities of faith in Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to look at 21 possibilities that are born out of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to turn to the book of Hebrews and follow along, I'm not going to spend a whole long time on each one, or we'd be here for a while. But I want to give you what I call overwhelming evidence of the possibilities of this glorious life of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let us begin here in Hebrews chapter 11 and look at these works that were born out of a complete faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 here in the first verse, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I want us to notice one thing right away from this first verse about faith. And that is that you and I, by faith in Jesus Christ, are able to actually possess the things to come that we cannot put our eyes upon now. You know, when we walk by faith in Christ and are yielding to Him, you and I actually, in a spiritual way, we do taste of the things of God. We realize that the kingdom of God to come is not some fiction story, but it's reality, and we see it by faith and we're embracing it. We understand that the New Jerusalem to come is not just some great human theory, but it is an actual thing of God. And that's what was happening here in Hebrews. By faith, the elders of the past, those that went before us in the Lord, they were actually possessing in their heart, in reality, those things that they were hoping for and those things to come. You know, it's like Paul said in Hebrews, "For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for the things we see not, then do we with patience or perseverance wait for it." What did Hebrews say? "For by faith and what? Patience, we inherit the promises." And listen, if we walk by faith, you will possess those eternal things in reality. You'll know they exist. You'll be experiencing them and tasting of them. You know, and it won't be something that you're just hoping it'll appear, but it'll actually be there. Number two, we're going to keep moving along. Second thing that we learn in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that faith accomplishes for us, and we find this in the second verse, is we see that it accomplishes for us a positive or upbuilding speech. No murmuring at all. Verse 2, it says, "For by it," or faith, "the elders obtained a good report." You remember the spies? I already alluded to that earlier. And this verse may be alluding to the time where Moses sent out the spies to go out and spy out the land of Israel. And we know that the majority of the spies came back and gave an evil report, but it was Caleb and Joshua that were of another spirit. And what was that other spirit, by the way? It was the spirit of faith. They had confidence in the Lord. They were assured that God could carry them into the land of Canaan, defeat the giants, give them this land, and allow them to experience the riches of the land of Canaan. But you know, what was the majority of those witnesses doing? They were murmuring and complaining. But I want us to know that faith in Jesus Christ instills in us a positive or upbuilding speech. It's like Peter said in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." You know, you and I should be busy about building each other up in our faith. We should be busy about speaking life to one another. Now, if there's sin in my life, I certainly wouldn't want you to turn a blind eye to that. I'd want you to tell me. I really would. You'd be really a good friend of mine and a brother and sister in the Lord if you would. But you know what we need to be careful about is not picking each other apart unnecessarily, but building each other up on our most holy faith, speaking life to each other. Like the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What did the children of Israel do often in the wilderness? What were they doing? Murmuring and complaining. God, why did you bring us here? God, we're going to lose. God, we're going to be killed. And you know what? God got to the point where he got tired of that murmuring and complaining. But listen, faith in Christ allows you and I to have that positive, upbuilding speech. And remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. May we use it in a powerful, upbuilding way. Thirdly, we're again looking at the possibilities of faith in God from Hebrews chapter 11 of those that went before. Not only are these two previous things true, but we come to a third reality. And that is that when we have a firm and complete and single eye of faith upon Jesus Christ, we obtain a spiritual understanding. In verse 3 it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, and how many people struggle with creation? They struggle, oh, God didn't, you know, make the world. God didn't do this. It just happened. But you and I as children of God, what does faith in Jesus do? It gives us that divine understanding, that realization that things, that there wasn't this loud explosion and everything happened, but there's Creator God behind it. Now, you and I, that's very simple, but let me expound upon this a little more. By faith in Jesus Christ, not only gives us spiritual understanding and a reckoning of that, but allows us to understand the things of God. You know, I'm going to tell you this. There are many people that have read the Bible for years. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible has been to them largely. I'm not going to say altogether, but largely it's been a locked treasure. You know, the Bible, they've read it and they've wondered, why can't I understand it? Why am I not grasping it? Why does it mean, a lot to me? And some people give up and they close it. I want us to know that the Bible is not a human's mind. This is the mind of God. This is a spiritual book. And it takes spiritual understanding to understand the spiritual mind of God. And it's faith in Jesus Christ that unlocks the mind of God to your understanding and my understanding. And faith gives us understanding in the great spiritual things of God. That's why it's of utmost importance that our complete faith is in Jesus Christ. We don't let any idols in our heart. We don't let distractions take our eyes off the Lord. Why did the Apostle John end his first letter in John? He said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That sentence is powerful. John ended his entire letter, with those few little words, little children, keep yourselves from idols, because he knew that if we set up idols in our life, they will carry us away from the one that will only carry us into the future glory, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And again, we learn that only faith in Christ gives spiritual understanding. Fourthly, walking by faith in Jesus Christ allows us to offer up acceptable spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Verse 4, by faith Abel what? Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why did he offer a more excellent sacrifice than his brother? Because his offering was an offering by faith. You know, I have to read into this a little bit here, because the Bible doesn't say this word by word, but where do you think Abel learned of the acceptable sacrifice to give? Probably from his father Adam. You remember Adam? When Adam and Eve in the garden, they tried to cover their own sin with the fig leaves. They were embarrassed. They realized we're naked, which is a picture to you and I in 2018 today of being morally impure. And they tried to cover their moral impurity by the works of their own hands. Well, later down, God ended up killing some animal and he clothed them, which was a picture that it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to atone, you know, that's going to cover. And we thank God in the New Testament, wash away our sins. And you know, Abel offered up an acceptable sacrifice to God, but it was done by faith. And listen, you and I, we can put money into the treasury. We can go give our body to be burned. We can go do so many services for the Lord, and the whole time they're not being accepted by the Lord. He's not well pleased with them because they were not being done by faith, but they were being done in the works of my own hands. They were being done in my own mind. They were being done by my own strength. Listen, faith in Christ allows our sacrifices, number one, to be acceptable and well-pleasing to the Lord. The physical offerings we do, not only that, but all the spiritual sacrifices we give to the Lord. Think of what Hebrews says. By Him, therefore, we offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. How many people sit in the pews and they praise God with the mouth, but it doesn't go any further than the ceiling because it's not born in faith in Christ? Our sacrifices become acceptable by faith. And we read it here in the Bible. That's what I love about the Bible is it is our confidence. And I don't have to sit up here and try to tell you something in my own head, but Abel was a man of faith. And he offered up the more excellent sacrifice by faith. Peter says, ye are a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, that ye should offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by what? Who? Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ makes our sacrifices acceptable. And may we always offer up those type of sacrifices. Let us move on here. I'm going to give you a fifth reality or possibility of faith in God. And that is that you and I are able to return to where we belong, and that is to God. Let me explain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, or simply went back to God where he first came from. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony. Enoch, God was so pleased with that he took him back to him where he came from. Literally. Well, you and I, that's more than likely not going to happen. But I want you to know something that is something that we all should be experiencing when we're walking by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is that we should be literally returning to where we belong, and that is to God. Let me explain. Philippians 3:20, the Apostle Paul said, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins hath quickened, which means made alive, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved and has raised us up together, listen, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our true citizenship, our true place where our passport is in heavenly places. It's in the presence of God. And when we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we live in our real home, which is in the presence of God. It's in the heavenlies. It's not this earth. This earth is not our home. As Christians, we should be living in the presence of God. It's like Psalm says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And I want us to know, this earth is not our home. We're just passing through. It's temporal. Paul realized, he said, listen, I'm able to look. We're able to look for the Lord Jesus Christ accurately, truly, when we are living in our true citizenship, which is in heaven. And listen, when we're anticipating the Lord's return and excited about His return, it's not because we're all caught up in the things of this life. It's because we're caught up in our heavenly home. We're caught up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're excited about Him and His work. And when we walk by faith, we're actually able to return back to our real home. Enoch was literally translated back to God. Most, you and I, that'll never happen. But we ought to be being translated, spiritually speaking, by faith to the presence of God, to the very place where we really belong. It's only by faith that'll happen. Listen, think about that. Others are trying by good works. They tried maybe by just being baptized. They tried by saying a prayer and it's about their self.
and they're discouraged. And they're wondering, why don't I have joy? Why don't I have peace? Why does this seem like a heavy life I keep doing and doing? Whereas the life of faith allows you and I to have peace. We have peace. We have joy. We're content. We're not always striving and fighting and uptight. We're resting in the presence of God. It's like Jesus said, come unto me. That's the key. Come unto me. Don't go to this church. Don't go to that person. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. By the way, do you think he was talking about those that were physically tired with their day's work? No. Those of you that are tired of trying to please God apart from me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, because it is Jesus Christ alone that gives us rest to our souls. Sixthly, as we continue to learn about the possibilities of faith in God, not only can we return to where we belong, and that is to God, but we can actually live a life that is pleasing to Him. We can actually be pleasing to the Lord. Give Him pleasure. Gratify Him. Verse 6, but without or apart from faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you know one of the impossibilities of human beings, by the way? And that is to please God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It is absolutely, and I mean absolutely impossible to please God, though we may do 100 works for Him a day, but if they're not done by faith in Jesus Christ, we are not pleasing to Him, because the Bible says it is impossible to please God apart from faith. But listen, if you will live a life of faith, you're pleasing God. And by the way, I got to share this. You know really what matters in life? And you'll agree with me, I'm sure. It doesn't matter if you're pleased with me or I'm pleased with you. All that matters is God pleased with me. Because when God really is pleased with me, we will automatically be a blessing to each other. We will automatically serve and love one another. And that's what matters in life, is living a life that's pleasing to God. We need to stop worrying so much about what so-and-so thinks of me and say, God, what do you think of me? Are you pleased with me? As this older man came down and wanted to just make sure, God, are you pleased with me? And boy, was he ushered home by the angels of God. Amen. That's what we want. Seventh, a seventh reality of the miraculous power of faith in God is that you and I can prepare for coming judgment. We can prepare for our coming judgment. Listen, look at this, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What did Noah do? He prepared an ark. He built that ark, 120 years, however long it was building and building, and it was built for those, all those around. God didn't just intend for Noah and his family to enter in. It was all those around. You want to come into the ark? Listen, it's going to rain. And we don't know what all Noah was exactly saying, but maybe every day Noah kept warning the people around him, it's going to rain. The floods are going to come. It's going to come, and eventually only Noah and his family went in the ark. But what was Noah doing? He was preparing for judgment to come. He was preparing his life in that way. And listen, when you and I walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we actually are preparing for our coming judgment. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul talks about this reality of this coming judgment. He says, wherefore we labor, this is 2 Corinthians 5:9, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Some translations, many will actually put well-pleasing to Him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's coming a day when we're going to stand before the Lord by yourself. by myself. The Lord is going to examine my life, and I'm going to have to give an account, and I don't know what's all going to happen there. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how deep the good interrogation is going to be and the questions asked and all of the such like, but I do know that you and I will stand before the living God, and we're going to give an account of our Christian life, of what we did in our body, whether it be good or bad. And listen, it's only by faith that we can actually prepare for that day. And isn't it sad how many professing Christians are doing anything but preparing for the Lord? They're doing everything else, I should say, but preparing for His coming. It's like Hebrews said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's a day of judgment coming. Noah was a wise man, and by faith he prepared the ark for safety. Let's continue on. Let me give you an eighth reality of the possibilities of faith in God, and that is that we can actually live a life of obedience. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He actually obeyed. You remember, you go back to Genesis, and I think it's around Genesis 12, that God called Abraham out of his country. Come, leave your kindred, you leave your family, and come where I want you to go. And Abraham said, I'll go, God. And you know, it's only faith in Christ that allows you and I to obey. You know, isn't that the beautiful thing? Paul said, remember when he was teaching the Philippian church, he says, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. When it came to the outward commandments of the law, Paul was blameless. But what Paul came to realize is that the very commandments that he thought he was obeying and was pleasing to God was the very thing that was slaying him. Because it was by the law that he realized that he was covetous. Yeah, he didn't actually go out and physically covet another wife and such things, physically speaking. But in his heart, he was guilty of covetousness. And listen, by faith in Jesus Christ is when we can only obey, not outwardly, but inwardly. Many people have a moral life outwardly, but inwardly, they're defeated by fears, by anxiety, by hidden sins. They're committing adultery in the heart and fornication and lusting and you name it. You name it. And that's not just for the young folk, by the way. Because it's only by faith in Jesus Christ where we can have full obedience to the Lord inwardly and outwardly. Because God wanted it all, right, by the way. God wasn't just concerned about our life being reformed on the outside. But He wants us to be transformed on the inside where our outside could literally be reformed in the right way. And that is according to His standards. Number nine, possibility. And that is that you and I can actually look for the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 10, it says, for He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I didn't read the verse before it. But I want you to know that Abraham, when he was looking for a city which hath foundations, do you know what's amazing about this story? He was already in the promised land that God promised to him. He was already in the land of Canaan. He was dwelling there as a stranger already. And God had brought him into it, and he didn't even realize it. Do you know why? Because Abraham was a man that walked by faith, and he was seeing a city much greater called the heavenly Jerusalem. There was something eternal yet to come that hadn't come yet. And he was seeing it by faith, and he realized it's going to come. And though he was in the land of promise, he was still looking for this place. But yet he actually was in the physical land that he promised to them. And listen, it's only by faith that you and I will anticipate the eternal things to come. And we'll be looking for that heavenly Jerusalem to come. It's like Paul said in Hebrews 13, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Paul also said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen to this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. But we only see those eternal things and grasp them by faith. Back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance. It's the essence of things hoped for, the reality, the conviction of things not seen, a conviction that I know they're there. I can't put my hands around them right now, but I'm seeing them. It's like this man said, don't you hear the angels singing? No. You can't hear them singing? No. And he passed on into the arms of God, but he was hearing it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number 10.
The impossibilities of faith allow us to be actually strengthened in the might of God. Strengthened in the mighty power of God. Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged in faith what was promised. Naturally speaking, she was so far beyond the days of conception, it was an actual miracle that God did. But she received strength from God to perform the impossible, humanly speaking. Listen to this in Romans chapter 4, again about Abraham, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong or empowered in faith, giving glory to God. Faith empowered Abraham. And it is faith that empowers us. It empowers us to do the will of God. It gives us vigor. It gives us excitement. It allows us to forgive. It allows us to bless. It allows us to just go out and be a witness for Christ, not worried. You know, if they mock me, if they hurt me. Because faith is the only thing that strengthens us in Jesus Christ. But you think of the law. Think of trying to just serve. You know, a set of principles or laws, they don't suffice. But it's only faith in Christ that does. We have so many things here. Number 11, we realize this world is not our home. Verses 13 to 16, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city, the new Jerusalem. We realize this world is not our home. It is easy for myself, and I believe I can speak for you too, it is easy for us to forget that this world is not our home. The actions of this life are not permanent. But sometimes we make our plans so deep as though the heavenly kingdom is never going to come. I would say this, we ought to live our life so loose from the things of this life that we're ready to quickly be translated into the kingdom of God when it comes. Oh, may we not get entangled with all the things of this life, but let us get all entangled up, if I can say it in that way, in the things of God. But many believers are all entangled and tied up with the affairs of this life. But what did Paul tell Timothy? He taught Timothy, you know, no man that warreth, no man that's in this spiritual warfare entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, we please God by faith. And when we live by faith, we don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. But when we're not living by faith in Jesus Christ, we do get entangled in the things of this life, which in turn does not allow us to live a life pleasing to God. But these who were seeing things that the natural eye could not see, they counted this world as not their own. But they gladly forsook it, and they realized they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's like Peter was teaching his hearers. You know, he said, dearly beloved, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He even talked to them as strangers and pilgrims. Let us continue on. 12thly, we give God the dearest of things. We give God the dearest of things in life when we walk and live by faith in Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19. Look at this. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Here, look at this. Abraham had the promises of God in his son.
all the promises that his seed was going to be as the stars of heaven and his sand, and his seed is the sand on the seashore. And now God tests him in about Genesis, what was it, chapter 22, and says, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him on the mountain there. And Abraham went. He went to offer his son, and he was going to slay his son until the angel called from heaven and said, don't do it. Don't do it. But Abraham was willing to offer up to God the dearest thing, perhaps in life to him, who was his Isaac, wherein all the promises of God were bound up. He realized, all of the promise that God gave me is in my son. And now God is telling me to take him and offer him up. Can you imagine? Think of where all your wealth is at. Think of where all your security is at. Just think of it. We all have different things. Think of the very thing that makes life easy. And God asks you tonight, I want you to take it all tonight, and I want you to go sacrifice every single bit of it. That's amazing. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I will only do it by faith. We'll only do it by a single eye totally devoted to the Lord. If our heart is divided, we will not have the strength to do it. But I want us to realize, because it's important, sometimes we read these things and we can read over them, but Abraham, you got to remember, in Isaac was bound up all the promise that God gave him. The promise of your seed being as the sand which is by the seashore, the stars in the sky, and all that was with that. But yet he went and did it. And faith is the engine that allows us to give God the dearest things of life. Number 13, this life of faith in Jesus Christ allows us to do what is humanly impossible, and that is worship God in spirit and in truth. Not just by a raising of the hand, not just by clapping, not just by saying amen, but actually worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Look at verse 21, Hebrews 11. Those of you that are following along, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, we have a lot of praise, and we have a lot of worship today that's outward. But I'm afraid that the bulk of that is not being accepted by God, because it's more of a self-gratification than of something that is rising from a redeemed spirit. It's rising from in the heart that's been changed and transformed by the blood of Christ, and their praise of their lips and the raising of their hands and their saying amen and whatever all goes on simply is the body responding to the heart being transformed by the life of Jesus Christ. True worship is born out of faith in Jesus Christ alone. 14. We remember God's promises. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He made mention, which means he remembered. He remembered how God said that the nation of Israel is going to go down to Egypt for 400 years and you're going to be in bondage and you're going to serve that nation. But after 400 years, I'm going to judge that nation. You're going to come out. That's a long time. But you know what? Joseph remembered the promise of God. And by the way, I want you to know that that promise was made by covenant. You remember what happened to Abraham? Those of you that have studied Genesis and know, Abraham said, God, how am I going to know you're going to give me this land? God said, I want you to take a ram, I think, of 3 years old. There was three threes in a row. It was a ram and two other animals of three. And of course, he divided them up, and then there was a couple fowls there that he did. And eventually, there was a deep sleep that fell upon Abram, and God spoke to him. And then eventually, there was a torch of light that passed through that sacrifice. God was covenanting with Abraham. And he was making a promise to Abraham. And this was a promise that the nation of Israel will come out of Egypt. And here Joseph, he remembered that promise. Listen, I want us to remember something tonight by faith. If we believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Jesus said, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's one promise. I'm with you. You know what? You and I may not have all the natural provisions of another. We may not have all the talents of another. We may not have all the looks and the such like things, but I want us to know that if we've truly been born again and we live by faith in Jesus Christ, He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. How often we forget the promises and provisions of God when the storms are about us. You know, the weapons of the Holy Spirit and the treasures of God and the grace of God, how often they lie dormant because we're so busy about looking at our circumstances and the mountains of life rather than by faith looking at the Lord and receiving of His riches, of His grace, and being able to go through the mountain and watch the mountain melt before me and, spiritually speaking, walk on water and do which is humanly impossible. God wants us to do the things humanly that are impossible. You may not think, I can't tell somebody about Jesus. I can't forgive that person. I can't go love my enemy. You know what? There's a lot of these things I want you to know. You're right. You can't do. And I can't do. But by faith in Jesus Christ, I can do the impossible. And we're looking about the great possibilities from the book of Hebrews, by faith in God. And this is just but one chapter in the Bible. This is one chapter. And for time's sake, I could be taking a lot longer, but we're just moving through. But remember, this is just but one chapter because there is a big theme in the Bible, and it's called faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. 15. Not only can we remember God's promises by faith, but we can also do that thing that is not humanly possible outside of faith. And that is, we do not have to fear when our eye is singly upon the Lord. We fear not. Look at 11:23 here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We don't fear. Do you have fear in your life? Do you have anxiety? Do you have doubt? By faith, these things are dispelled. These things fall to the wayside. 16, we refuse. Listen to this one. And this is only done by faith in Jesus Christ, by the way. But listen to this one. This one struck me a little bit today. We refuse special treatment and identify ourselves with the common will of God for all saints, which is to suffer for Christ's sake. Now let me read this from, just so you know that this is the Bible here. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had the ability to take all of that privilege there. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, he chose by the grace of God himself to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And here we're going to find why. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking at that eternal reward before him by faith. And it's only by faith that you and I will refuse special treatment and identify ourselves with the common will of God for all of us as saints of God, and that is to suffer for Christ's sake. Let me just read this to you to make this perhaps even more clear, if it's not, from a conversation that Jesus and Peter had in Matthew chapter 16. This is beginning in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Listen to this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Lord, you shouldn't be treated like that. Lord, you're above that. You're too good for that, Lord. This is what Peter was saying. But listen to what the Lord says, one of the strongest statements to his disciples in all the New Testament. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. You're a stumbling block to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. The things of men are like, you know what? I'll take the privileges. I'll take the opt out from suffering for the Lord. I'll take the easy road. Whereas Jesus said, if we continue on in our context, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul said in Philippians, as he ended chapter 1, he said, for it, I just had it in my mind. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. That's only done by faith. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Am I calling yourselves and myself tonight to go out and do something dumb or just purposely go be persecuted? No. But I'm going to say this. If we really live this devoted life of faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about persecution, you know, going out and finding it. It's going to come to your doorstep. Because Paul said, all that will live, you notice what he said, not speak, but live. They allow their light. They allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine. They don't compromise to keep their friends. They don't compromise, you know, for peace sake when it comes to obeying the Lord. Many have suffered greatly for obedience to the Lord. Let's move on. Number 17, we endure or we persevere by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Number 18, by faith we observe the sacraments. Hebrews 11:28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You remember that time? Moses kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood. Well, today, there are certain sacraments, Christian sacraments, that God has instituted for us to do. I can name a couple of them for you. Number one is baptism. Baptism upon faith in Jesus Christ. Number two is communion. And you know, when we live by faith in Jesus Christ, when we've been born again, we're ready to go down in the baptismal waters. We're ready to partake of communion and remember the Lord's death. And these are just but a couple sacraments. Sacraments simply being those religious outward things that we do that God is pleased with. And these are just but two I've mentioned. 19. Faith in Jesus Christ allows us to truly accomplish, which has been the theme of the message, truly accomplish the impossible. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. That was literally the work of God. You and I only by faith can accomplish those things that human beings cannot accomplish. But God empowers us to do them. Number 20, we take down strongholds. Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days, the walls of Jericho were strong. They were mighty. But as the children of Israel obeyed God, the walls of Jericho fell down. And likewise, when you and I walk by faith, I want us to know personal strongholds are going to start to fall. Those hidden sins that nobody knows are going to start to fail and go away. You know, those doubts, those anxieties and the such like are going to go. That bad attitude is going to fall to the wayside by faith in Jesus Christ. It's like Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not in a fleshly manner, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are some of those weapons? The Word of God. Prayer. Singing the praises to God. And the such like things. And lastly, though this is not an exhaustive list of the possibilities of having faith in God, but lastly here, is that you and I actually can love our enemies. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Jericho was not a friend of the nation of Israel. But Rahab the harlot received, you know, who was not a part of her kingdom, friendly. And when the nation of Israel came and destroyed, she and her household were saved. And listen, so in turn as she received the spies by peace, it's only by faith in Jesus Christ that you and I will actually love our enemies. Let me read this as we conclude our message here. Let us listen to what Jesus said about this, loving our enemies. Matthew 5:43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now Jesus is going to tell us how to love them. You have an enemy? I don't know if you have an enemy. You have an enemy? You have somebody that hates you? You have somebody that is against you? Well, let us listen to what the Bible says, how we can bless our enemies. And I believe by doing these things, have a possibility through God of winning them to the Lord. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And then he's going to give the practical way to do it. Bless them that curse you. When they curse you, bless them. Speak kind to them. Speak well of them behind their back and to their face. Do good to them that hate you. Find some good deed you can do for them. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God would bless them. Listen to what the Lord says. All of this because that ye may be, that you and I may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Jesus said in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, be complete, be as me, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be as God your Father in heaven, who blesses both his enemies with rain and those that love him. And listen, Rahab received the children of Israel by faith. And it is only by faith in Jesus Christ, an absolute and complete reliance upon Him, where you and I will truly be able to love our enemies. And you know, I'll have to say this. If there's something that the Christian churches need to see today, it's you and I being able to love those that do not love us. Be kind to those that are not kind to us. Bless those that speak evil of us. You may say, Craig, I can't do that. And I'm here to tell you, you're right. But I also want to remind you of the possibilities of faith in Jesus Christ. I gave you 20 of them or so tonight. That's just 20. The Bible is completely clear on the subject that God is able to take care of the things you and I cannot do if we will just but let our heart be full devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my call this evening, is let us allow our hearts, let our hearts, give our hearts unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this evening, what I would like Ron and Becky to do, if they wouldn't mind, and I know they're very willing, you know, I just want to be faithful to the Lord. I don't want to ever take anything for granted. You know, you all know me. I am not the type, maybe, Lord, I need to be more of this, to just beg and plead for people to come. I just don't. The altar's open. If you need to come, you come. If your altar you're comfortable is in your pew, make it your altar. But if you're not right with God as a Christian, get right with God. If you've never been saved, listen, talk to Pastor Ted or myself. We are more than willing to stay with you if it takes all night. It doesn't matter. Because you are what matters. We love you. And that's the truth. And I'd like Ron and Becky to sing the song. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. That song of faith is the, I think it's 400 and, I can't think of that song. But it's the first line, maybe, encamped along the hills of light. And if you all could sing that, Ron and Becky, I'd appreciate it. It goes along with our subject this evening.
number 446. I'm going to let them sing that. Maybe Ron and Becky, that's fine. You can sing two or three verses. It'll be sufficient. We're going to let the altar be open. And then when they're done, I'll close. But just think of this song in light of our subject. True too. It's only faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. Think of that verse where it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And it is the Holy Spirit that bears witness in your heart and my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That he did come in flesh, that he was the Word that came and was flesh. Okay, I thank you all, and I've had different people tell me at times, Craig, don't worry about the clock. Well, you were patient tonight, thank you. And I hope that was a blessing, and, you know, listen, and, you know, the biggest thing about these meetings is that the needs in our life are really being met. It doesn't matter how it outwardly all happens, but that actually the needs in our life are being met. Don't leave tonight, and don't leave these meetings without your personal needs being met, because the Lord wants to meet them all. So again, we're going to invite those of you that can to be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and appreciate it. We're already halfway through. We just got 3 more evenings, and it will soon be over. Happens that fast. So let us pray, and please be praying for tomorrow night's service. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We just ask that you would, Lord, yes, not bring forth a little but an abundant increase of fruit from our gathering this evening. I ask that you would give us all safety home, and I just ask that your Holy Spirit would bear witness in our heart what we need to remember from tonight, and help us, Lord, to put to practice your truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, God bless you all. Be careful going home.